And that's the way it's going to be, too. You know what? There'll be a lot of people you'll want to see, and a lot of people you'll be anxious to see, and a lot of things you'll be anxious to see. But I think when we get to heaven, we're going to want to see Jesus more than anything at all. That was great. Thank you, fellas. What a blessing. Enjoyed that. And that was good. That was good. Psalm 77. Psalm 77. Oh, the past several weeks, I don't know how many people I've heard something like this. Preacher, I just feel overwhelmed. Several times, a teenager said that not too long ago. Several adults have said that here recently. I just feel overwhelmed. And I want to talk to you tonight from Psalm 77. And if you'll listen, I think God has something that'll help you out, especially if you feel like you're kind of overwhelmed. Psalm 77 and verse 3 is our text. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Father, I pray that you'll bless the preaching tonight, that you'll speak to our hearts. Give us exactly what we need, and especially those who perhaps feel a little overwhelmed. I pray for victories. And Lord, that we'll see some things tonight that'll help us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This psalm of Asaph here, Psalm 77, is really all about that. I mean, it is. If somebody's overwhelmed, you can see it here in the psalm, Psalm 77. If there's ever a case of being overwhelmed, certainly you can see it here as you read Psalm 77. We're going to kind of go through it and look at some things I think will be a help. Notice what he says in verse 2. He says, in the day of my trouble. You ever kind of feel like this is the day of your trouble? You know, this is, what do you mean day? I wish it were just a day. It's more like a month or a year or something like that. You know, again, Asaph here, the day of my trouble. And really what he's saying is, here it is, it's the day of my trouble, but it's built on another day of trouble that was another day of trouble. And now all these days of trouble, I'm just, my spirit is overwhelmed. I feel like I'm covered over with trouble and problems. And you know, one thing happens and it leads to another thing, and it leads to another thing. And soon, as the psalmist said, he said, my spirit, it's overwhelmed. I just don't really know how I can go on. But this psalm, the nice thing about it, it does end in a victory, and it's very obvious how it goes here. And so I just want to give you 3 points with a lot of sub-points. The first point is simply the search. And, you know, when your spirit feels overwhelmed, really searching for God's help is the very best thing in the world to do. Now, we'll search all kinds of things. I remember, and I'm not going to tell the whole story, but years ago when I was pastoring in Bern, Indiana, I had all these physical things that were going on, and I thought that I was having a heart attack. In fact, doctors thought that, and I went through all these tests and everything else. And finally, my doctor, he was a good Christian man, he said, I really believe it's just a lot of stress. Now, I didn't understand that. And back in those days, you didn't use that word, you know, among Christians. You just, you know, stress, that means I'm not right with God. That means, are you saying I'm not right with God or something like that? And he said, no, he said, look, he said, you got to understand, it's just a matter of your body. I told him, I said, you know, I'm not worried about anything. I don't go around shaking. And he said, no. He said, it's just, there's a lot of pressure. You're a pastor. You have a lot going on. You have bills to pay. You have church things to take care of. You carry a lot of other people's burdens. And he said, you have a lot of stress. And literally what he was telling me is he was telling me your body knows when you're being overwhelmed. He said, your body, God has made us to realize that we're just kind of overwhelmed and there's a lot going on. So you know, that helped me understand that, stress, I guess I can understand that a little bit. But the psalmist here gives us a great, great way to get a victory and some things we need to know about it. And the first thing we see here is the search. He said, I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. And he says, I cried out. He said, the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. Sounds like, does that sound familiar to anyone? Seriously, does that sound like some things that maybe you know, hey, here it is night, I'm supposed to rest, but I can't rest. I'm just wide awake. And he says, I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. He said, thou holdest mine eyes waking. You ever like that at night? You know, you go to bed, you say, I'm exhausted. I promise you, I'm going to go to sleep. And you lay your head on your pillow and you say, No. Why are you open eyes? You're supposed to be closed. And it's just, he said, I'm so troubled that I cannot speak. You ever been there before? The search of God, I can't even sleep. I need your help. And it's very interesting. He said in verse 3, I remembered God and was troubled. What? I remembered God and it troubled me. It caused me problems. Wait a minute. You're supposed to remember God and everything's be okay, right? No, it troubled him. You know why it troubled him? Because when you think about God's holiness, it reminds you of your sinfulness. I remembered God. That bothered me. By the way, in the days of trouble, everything seems bad, doesn't it? You know, in that day of trouble, it's just like, okay, I'm going to think about God. I'll tell you what, I'm going to read my Bible. That's what I'll do. I'll read my Bible. And you just, you do the old turn and point. And you open it up, and you turn, and you point, and it says, all have sinned and come short of the glory. Wait a minute, I ought to find something better than that. So you point again. There is none righteous, no, not one. Oh, isn't that that's the way it goes, though, isn't it? He said, I'm troubled. I'm having all kinds of problems here. My spirit is overwhelmed. And so I'll think about God. And when I think about God, that causes me trouble because I realize how sinful I am. It's a day of trouble. And you start saying, what have I done? Why is this happening? What's going on? Why is everything going wrong? Verse 3, he says this. He says, I love this. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. He's so frustrated. You ever been there? That's a overwhelmed spirit. And so the search is, God, I really want your help. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If you really want God's help, Brother Cowling said it today, you really want it, you'll get it. You really pray something to God. God, I really want to know. I want your help. I want your guidance. See, here's our problem. Our problem is when this is going, we just want everything to be perfect. Submission to God's will, and I've talked about this in my Sunday school class, submission to God's will is not where everything's perfect. It's where you submit to whatever it is. Somebody help me out a little bit here. Submission to God. We have this idea. Well, I prayed about it and I talked to God about it and he didn't do anything. Yeah, you prayed about it. You said, God, make it quit raining. And if he doesn't make it quit raining, you're not happy with that. And what does that lead to? That leads to more bad, doesn't it? Your day of troubles even. Where's God? Wait a minute. How about this? How about God? I'd really like for it to quit raining, but if it doesn't quit raining, it's okay. I submit. I'll get boots. But see, that's our problem. Because we just become even more stressed because we get frustrated with God. And the psalmist, by the way, Asaph here, it's no different with him than it is with us. This happens to every one of us. We think it's supposed to be like this. I say this all the time. What is normal? What is normal? Okay, if you go into the shepherd's ministry on a Sunday morning, and you walk in there, and they're having their service, you would say, oh, those poor folks, they're not normal. They're having a better time. They don't have as much stress as you do. Now, I want to ask you a question. What is normal? What is really normal? I mean, the fact of the matter is, we get stressed out over how we think it ought to be, and just because it isn't, we get stressed out even more, and what we end up doing is, we end up quitting God, we quit reading our Bible, we quit going to church, we get mad at God. The psalmist here, he says, I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed, because when he complained, he said, God, I don't understand what's going on. Instead of saying, God, I accept what's going on. I accept what's going on. Let me show you some stress. Number one's the search. Number two's the stress. There's a lot of stress. There's a lot. And the psalmist here talks about that, but there are just some things you need to think about. I mean, he's talking about being overwhelmed, stressed out. I can't take it. Pressure, so much pressure. Now, by the way, complaining's not the solution, but for the psalmist here, it's the start of it. It's going to get to a solution. And I like the word Selah there. Selah is like a rest, like a pause. And that's what you need to do when you're overwhelmed. That's really what you need to do. And this is like a musical note rest or a musical rest in music. You ought to stop and just consider some things. Okay, there is a lot of stress. There is a lot of pressure in our lives as a Christian. And in verse 5 he says, I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient time. It's time to stop and consider some things. He says in verse 6, I call to remembrance my song in the night. It's time to think about some things and to remember some things that God has done. The fact that his spirit is overwhelmed. Again, you know, this idea of God, I know that you've helped me in the past. I know what you've done before. And God, I know that you know I love you and I really want to please you. And yet, what's all this stress? Why is this happening to me? And sometimes, as it did me years ago, it affects our bodies. Sometimes it affects, you know, we just can't do the things that we used to do. Let me give you some things that are stressors, all right? And these are every day. Do you understand? God stresses us. Yeah, God has. There's all kinds of things in our lives where it's just stressful. How about commandments to do right? There's a lot of stress there.
Oh, you say, no, preacher, if we love him, his commandments are not grievous.
That's our problem, though. We love ourselves too much. And so really doing the will of God. I mean, you understand the highest level of stress. When Brother Caleb preaches to the teenagers, it's the hardest thing going on is when he's preaching to them, hey, just do right. And they're sitting there. Boy, there's stress. You know, the altar call is a stressful time, isn't it? I mean, it is such a stressful time. Why? It's our will versus the will of God. God's commandments. That's stressful. God says, thou shalt do this. God says, thou shalt not do this. There's a lot of stress in that. There's a lot of stress in that. Now, you know, the more you grow in the Lord, and seriously, the more you love him, his commandments aren't grievous. They really aren't. And they're not as stressful. But doing right, there's always going to be stress because we are prone to do wrong. Do you understand? You say, yeah, but I'm a Christian. I'm not supposed to be overwhelmed. Some of the best people in all the world have been overwhelmed with all the stress that goes on. His commandments, those give us stress. His conviction. You know, when God is really getting after you, it's stressful. Paul said it's hard to kick against the pricks. He said it's so hard. It's that prick is that tool that you use to get an animal to move and you stab that. And it's hard to kick against that thing. And, you know, God's pricking us all the time saying, hey, make this decision. Hey, God, I don't want to do that. I want to do what I want to do. A lot of stress. You said, boy, no wonder I'm exhausted at the end of Sunday. Yeah? I understand. God's conviction, boy, it's tough on us. You say, you know, I just don't ever have any conviction. I wonder if you're saved. I remember before I got saved, I literally, I would sit in that pew and I was lost as could be and I dreaded the invitation. Every service, lost, I asked myself, why am I even here? And I looked over and saw Bryn and I knew why I was there. But it was tough. Because I was lost, and I knew I was lost, and I had to go to church to be able to see her. And I'm telling you, that conviction. Don't you remember before you got saved how it was? I remember sweat pouring down my face. I remember my heart like it was going to jump out of my chest. And it's still like that when God convicts me about something. You talk about stress. Paul, read Romans chapter 7. Paul is so frustrated with himself. And the conviction, he said, you know, I'm a sinner. I know what's right, but I do wrong. And I know what I'm supposed to do, but then I don't do it. And he said, you know, finally, just I'm a sinner. And it's sin that lieth in me. But he's so frustrated with that. Why? Because there's conviction that goes with it. I mean, come on. When you're walking with God and you do something wrong, and we do things wrong, and we have bad attitudes, and we don't always think right. And I mean that conviction's right there. It's like, oh, I can't believe I just did that. You know, God, the conviction, it's a lot of stress. A lot of stress. And you know, it's a result of reading your Bible. It's a result of hearing preaching. It's a result for example, our young people being in a Christian school. You know, and you hear it over and over and over. And it's from people that say, you know, hey, we love you. We just want you to turn out right. Ah, I want to do what I want to do. You know, it's battle. It's a war. And that stress, that pressure, it is sometimes you just kind of feel overwhelmed. Like Asaph did here. There's always stress of a service. Brother Cowling this morning talking about soul winning. You know, how many did you let slip by you this past week? You got in a hurry. You know, as soon as he says, turn to Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, you know, it's kind of like heads are bowed. I don't know what he's been talking about. Right? And immediately, you know, the last place you were where you let somebody slip by, you didn't give them a track, you didn't say anything to them, didn't even invite them to church, nothing. And it's like, I can't believe I did that. And that pressure, stress. Well, there it is again. Service. And then the preacher announces for the 10th week in a row, we need somebody to help out in the nursery on Sunday nights. And there's folks that do all the work that are sitting there going, oh, please, somebody, I can't do another thing. The pressure of just getting the job done. Yeah, there's a lot of stress. But the job does need to get done. The job needs to get done. A desire to please the Lord. A desire to get it, you know, to serve Him. And all of that, you know. I'm telling you, that stress is great. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong. It is all right. Every part of it is right. But I'm trying to help you understand. Here is why we say, my spirit is overwhelmed. I don't know if I can go on. And you have, this is stress from God here. Tests. Because God, you know, it's like students. You know, school would be great if we didn't have any tests. Amen. Yeah, I know. I know how it is. Do you understand how easy life would be if we didn't have tests? Do you understand that just about every circumstance that happens around us, God's just watching to see what you're going to do? You know, where the devil tempts us, the Bible says God doesn't tempt, but God does test. And God allows the devil to tempt, and God uses it as a test. Just see where we are. I was thinking about this, and again, here comes that stress. Brother Dave saw me. I was in my office, and I was doing something on the computer, trying to check everybody in for flights tomorrow. And trying to get ahead and do all that stuff. And I think computers are demon-possessed. I'm serious, Brother Johns. I don't understand them. And when I don't understand it, it really offends me. It bothers me. But when I click how I'm supposed to click, and I do what I'm supposed to do, and then a little thing comes on that says, we're sorry, that didn't register, start over. I don't take that well. You know, I start thinking that I want to throw the thing out the door or something. But every now and then they'll help me out, you know, when I want to check the weather or something spiritual like that. They don't trust me with a whole lot of stuff, to be honest with you. And it's probably good. But, you know, Tim will have some fancy software on his. And I'll say, do I have that? And he goes, no. And he just goes on. He never says, would you like it? It's just kind of a given. Pastor doesn't have a clue, so we'll just humor him whenever we can. But I got upset. I really did. And there stands Dave, and it's right before church tonight, and I know what I'm preaching on. And I just got mad because the computer didn't do what I wanted it to do. And I thought, well, Lord, I failed. That didn't work out real well. But you know, everything that happens is like that. And it's like, oh, I just can't take it. But you really can take it. Or you never would have gotten the test. It just never would happen. And I've talked about that often. You know, the thing about tests, and I know this to be true because of college. My high school years, I didn't do well because I didn't want to do well. I didn't attend much of it. But in college, you know, I was very serious about things. And there was a whole lot less pressure. You know what I'm talking about? You young people, you know what I mean. When you really study. Zach, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? You ever really study? All right. Where's Curry? Wave at me, Curry. All right. How'd you do on that? Was it English you were really working on? Okay, there were a couple big tests the other day, and Curry was working hard. And, you know, when you prepare, it's not the same pressure as if you're winging it. You know, most of us as Christians, seriously, we're winging it a lot. Amen. You know, we really are. Because we're not walking with God like we need to walk with God. And we're not in our Bibles like we ought to be in our Bibles. We're not on our knees like we ought to be on our knees. Because that test is going to come. And we always kind of think, well, you know, I'll just get by. But wouldn't you rather do better than get by? Plus, some tests where I sweat before, which wouldn't have had to be all the way up till that time. Stress, tests, yeah. You will never face a test that is too hard for where you are spiritually. But you may face a test you're not as prepared for, and it'll drive you crazy. Why is this happening? That's some stress from God. See, the psalmist, he said, my spirit's overwhelmed. But there was some stress from God. And then, of course, another stress thing that kind of goes along with his commandments is choices, just doing right, choosing to do right. We always have choices between right and wrong. The hardest choices in the world and the ones that bring me the most stress are the choices between right and right. Choices between right and right are tough. And they can give you a lot of stress. Choices between two right things, but you have to choose one. There's stress there. Can I remind you, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Walking with God helps with a lot of those things. But again, I'm talking about stress from the Lord. How about stress from ourselves? We cause ourselves a lot of problems. You know, our flesh. Paul talked about in Romans 7, I want to do right, but I end up doing wrong. Our flesh causes us a lot of trouble. And we, you know, again, we bring, by the way, anytime you put yourself in a place, okay, for example, here's somebody says, well, I want to lose weight, and they go to the bakery every day. Okay, you're just begging. You're putting yourself under a lot of stress. Amen. And Diet Coke. And not because it's sinful or wrong or anything, I just decide I don't need it. And I don't like to have anything that I'm addicted to. So I just said, I'm going to quit. So what I did was I got my refrigerator half full of water and half full of Diet Coke, right? You say, well, that'd be stupid. You're right. That's why I didn't do it. I filled my refrigerator all with water. Some of you are looking at me real funny. You say, well, I'm going to lose weight. And so you go to Golden Corral. Why? You're just stressing yourself out. We don't have Butterfingers in our house. We don't have Heath bars in our house. We would like to have them. See, if we had Heath bars and Butterfingers in our house, I promise you this, they would slowly come up missing. We'd never say a word to each other about it. They would just be missing. After a month, one of us might say, oh, did you notice there's no more Butterfingers or Heath bars? That's all that'd be said, and eventually they would appear again, and then slowly. But see, we don't do that. Because if they're there, that's stress. Somebody is an alcoholic. Okay, stay away from liquor. Don't go near it. Don't go where it is. Don't go where people serve it. Don't go, just stay away. Don't go where you can smell it. Same with smoking. You know, any addiction, if you put yourself around it, you're going to stress yourself out. Yeah. We do that to ourselves. Our flesh. Sin. You know, again, sin causes us. Do you understand how much stress is involved in chastening? Ask your children. Yeah, ask them. Do you enjoy a spanking? We have a lot of kids here. How many children enjoy getting spanked? Anyone? Any of you children like getting spanked? Jordan, do you like getting spanked? You need it. I'll tell you, I've watched you lately. No, he's a good kid. Anybody like getting spanked? Ryan, do you like getting spanked? Do you enjoy it? No, I didn't think so. Matthew, do you enjoy getting spanked? Nah, I didn't think. It's just not something we enjoy. Okay, Christian. We know God's going to spank us. There's chastening. It's in the Bible. But we bring, ladies, you've told your children, when your dad gets home, you're going to get it. And all, I mean, the kids, you know, it's like they're watching the clock. You talk about stress. Isn't it something how we do that? Really, we know God's going to deal with us. He's our Father. Read Hebrews 12. Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. And we know that. And we go ahead and sin, and we know He's got the paddle in His hand. And we're watching. And we're watching, right? Some of you seniors, you're going to get on the plane and say, Lord, I now confess all my sins, past, present, future, everything I've ever done, everything I ever will do, I confess it to You. Please forgive me of all my sins. Spank me now before we get on this plane. Right? By the way, I hope you do that, because I'm going to be on that plane. Get it over with ahead of time, amen? But see what we bring on ourselves? The pressure, the stress, that sowing and reaping thing. You know, when you know what you've sown and you're just waiting for the harvest. Yeah, it's a lot of pressure. Weights, the Bible talks about in Hebrews 12, verse 1. Not necessarily sinful things, but things that might slow us down. Yeah, that brings on a lot of stress. Debt, that Visa card that's haunting you now. And every time it comes in the mail, you just kind of put it somewhere else. The bill. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? You got that big stack. Weights. Being outside of the will of God. It's a lot of stress. We do it. Well, I know God doesn't want me to do this, but I'm going. That outside of the will of God has caused more stress in people's lives than I'm serious. As a pastor, I've counseled so many people. You know, so many times we get this idea, well, I just want to do the will of God. Well, let me ask you, did God give His permission or did you do it without His permission? Because if you do it without His permission, you're bringing a lot of stress on yourself. And then there's imagined pressure that we bring on ourselves. That's surmising. I know they hate me. I know what they're thinking. Did you see them look at us? They didn't smile. Imagined pressure. Worry, stress we bring on ourselves. Stress from God, stress from ourselves, stress from others. You know, people around us. You cannot ever expect any human being to be perfect. But there's stress. You know, young people, there's stress from your parents, and you give them plenty of stress. Stress from a spouse. Stress from a boss, stress from leaders, stress from teachers. A lot of stress from other people, other Christians, Being concerned what people might think. Stress. And of course the devil, he loves to bring stress into our lives, tempting us, then we sin, then he accuses us. You know, fear that the devil brings on. Some of you are terrified. And God has not given us a spirit of fear. I'm telling you, when you're afraid, that's not of God, ever. God has not given us a spirit of fear. And Satan will bring on confusion. He'll bring on temptation. He'll bring on anger. He'll bring on worry. He'll bring on discouragement. Or he'll tempt us with those things. Bitterness, guilt, jealousy, insecurity, blaming God, blaming other people. I promise you, so many folks, you know, there's this thing of blaming everybody and putting blame on all this. You know, it's either my past or it's somebody in my past or it's that neighbor or the guy that I work with or it's my parents. It's somebody else's fault. And the devil just loves to stir that up until you're about to go crazy. Stress. All these things are stress. And they cause us, as the psalmist, to say, you know, I my spirit is just overwhelmed. It's overwhelmed. Number one is the search. Number two, the stress. And then the third thing is the solution. And this is what I like about this passage, because he goes on and he asks these questions. He says in verse 6, he says, I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. And then he starts to think through this. He's paused. He's thinking. He knows he's under a lot of pressure. He knows he's under a lot of stress. But he finally starts to reason things out the right way. And he says this, will the Lord cast off forever? By the way, the answer to that is no. And will he be favorable no more? No. Is his mercy clean gone forever? No. Doth his promise fail forevermore? No. Hath God forgotten to be gracious? No. Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? No. Rest. Time to pause again. Selah. Huh? Hey, what is he finally coming to the conclusion? Is God there or not? Has God forgotten me? No. Has God given up on me? No. Is God going to have mercy on me? Yes. Has God quit having grace? No, God still has grace. Is the Lord going to cast me off? No, 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 no. So he's still there, right? Yes, 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 yes. And I love verse 10. Boy, I thought this is a tremendous verse. It's helped me, really helped me a lot. He says, verse 10, and I said, this is my infirmity. This is my infirmity. That is so good. This is my infirmity. In other words, hey, I'm overwhelmed right now. I'm going, this is a lot of stress. This is a lot of pressure on me. But God is still God, and God is still on his throne. And God is still going to take care of me. And God is still going to have mercy. And God is still going to be gracious. And this is my infirmity. What's he saying? He said, this is my humanness. This is my imperfection. This is my, you can call it whatever you want, this is my sickness. This is just me. This is what I am. I'm a human. I sin. I'm not perfect. I'm a human. I mess up. And there's every time I mess up, it's going to cause me more stress. But this is my infirmity. It's me. It's what I am. You can put anything you want in there. You can say my humanness, my imperfection, my sickness, or you could say this is my opportunity. Preacher, wait a minute. You're trying to reverse psychologize this. No, it is your opportunity. Because if this is your infirmity, if this is what you are, if this is how we are, let's say somebody's blind. Would that bring a lot of stress? I'll be honest with you, it'd bring you a lot of stress. It'd bring me a lot of stress. Until you finally made peace with it. That's what Brother Cowling was talking about today. The little girl that was blind smiled, enjoyed feeling somebody's face, so that's how she looked at him. You said, I couldn't handle that. I know you couldn't handle it right now. But if you realize that's your infirmity. Did you know that everybody here has some infirmity? We all do. Whether it's our eyes or our hearing or whether it's just our flesh. I mean, the truth of the matter is, every one of us here is dying. What are you trying to say, preacher? Listen, he finally said, this is my infirmity. But here's what he goes on. But I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Okay, where I am infirm, he is still strong. Where I'm weak, he's still strong. Where I can't handle it, he still can handle it all. Where I'm a human, he's God. Where I have imperfection, he is all perfect. And he said, I'll remember the works of the Lord. Surely I'll remember thy wonders of old. I'll meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. See, all these things, meditating, talking of God. That song, what was the name of that song, Dave, that I liked about thinking about God and he's blessed me? What's that called? It's just, I've been blessed. The song the girls sang this morning, my favorite song. I've probably heard it before, but I sat there and tears were streaming down. It was just basically, I can see, I can hear, I can walk, I can come to church, I'm an American. Boy, I've been blessed. But it has nothing to do with me. In spite of that, I'm bald. In spite of that, I don't see very well, and I put drops in my eyes. And in spite of that, I use asthma spray because I'm infirm. I'm a human. I'm not perfect. In spite of that, sometimes I get a little shook up. But my God never gets shook up. And he's still on the throne. He said, this is my infirmity, but I'll remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. This is just my infirmity. He said, I'm going to meditate on God and I'm going to talk about God. And I'm going to let people know how blessed I am of God. Thy way, verse 13, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Wow. That's a great God. Okay, God, what I'm telling you is, I'm just nothing. And I fail, and I fail, and I fail, and I fail, and God, I know I've got to have you. He says, thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people. And you know what, God, you redeemed me too. And he goes through, and I love this, because now he's got his focus where it needs to be. Are you listening? Before, his focus was on what? Him. Now he's put his focus on God. And he looks at maybe the biggest miracle he knows about. And I love it because he talks about the parting of the Red Sea. And many times when I'm looking for a miracle, I go back to the parting of the Red Sea. So I kind of like this song. He says in verse 16, the waters saw thee, O God. Isn't that good? That's so good. So what made the waters part? They saw God. That's what made them part. The waters saw God. That's why they parted. They saw thee and they were afraid. The water, the Red Sea, it saw God and it was afraid of drown God's people. They were afraid of God. You say, but I'm overwhelmed. Well, let all the overwhelming things see God. Because as they see you, oh, help me. Let them see your God. I love it. They were afraid. The depths also were troubled. The clouds poured out water. The sky sent out a sound. Thine arrows also went abroad. That's lightning and thunder. The voice of thy thunder was in the heaven. The lightnings lightened the world. The earth trembled and shook. Thy way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. Thou leddest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. I love verse 19. Thy way is in the sea. And you know what? I feel like the water is covering over me, and God just says, okay, I'll just make a path. You can't make the path. Yeah, God, I know. I'm overwhelmed. The waters are rolling over me. God says, I can make a path through that. And he can do that for me. Now listen to me, and I'm done. He can do that for you. But I just want you to understand this. He may not do it the way you think he should. I'm telling you, 99% of the problems in this room right now that are causing folks to stay awake at night and struggle and stress and everything else is this little point right here. Can you accept your infirmity? Can you accept your infirmity? Okay, you're not perfect. Can you accept that? Can you accept your infirmity? Do you understand the only stress that I mentioned? All this stress is what I'm allowing. Everything I talked about, most of it I can change. God's in control. Now, is he in control or not in your life? Okay, because let's go back to the Red Sea, okay? God is in control, even if God's people would have been kept as slaves. Well, preacher, how could you say God's in control of his people? Because that may have been God's will. Isn't that how they became slaves in the first place? Read about the Babylonian captivity. How did they become slaves? Do you understand Nebuchadnezzar is not even the head of gold if God doesn't allow it? Nebuchadnezzar is nothing. Nebuchadnezzar is a slave. If God doesn't need him, God calls Nebuchadnezzar his servant. Why? Because Nebuchadnezzar took God's people captive. Why? Because that was God's will. You say, well, I don't like being captive. Wait. But see, that's the whole point I'm trying to make. You're stressing out over something that maybe is what God wants. And if you would just yield to God, you wouldn't have any stress anymore. God's in control even if they're kept slaves. Listen to me. God is in control if every one of them would have been wiped out before they ever touched the water. God's still God. Well, I don't think it wouldn't have been a very good story then. Yeah. But how many times has God's people been wiped out? See, our problem is we think we're the ones supposed to write the story. Wait a minute. God's in control if they were in the midst of the sea and the sea would have come in on them. Well, that'd change things real bad. Is God still God? You say, but I don't like that ending. I like it that they crossed over on dry ground and the bad guys all drowned. I understand that. But God's still in control, isn't he? If God would have allowed Pharaoh to catch up with them and slay them. Okay, what am I? I'm this is my infirmity. My infirmity. This right here. Me. I'm just not God. The question is, who's in control? Most of our stress is right there. Who's in control? One of the greatest things that happened to me, I've shared it before, I won't go into the whole story, but in the midst of all that mess I was going through, I mentioned I took some kind of pills and stuff, and nothing was right, nothing was working, but I decided just to get off one of these pills, and it was not a good experience. And I mean, I was shaken and I was all upset, and I called the doctor, and my wife was worried and everything, and we'd already been to we'd done everything, and I called the doctor, and my doctor wasn't there, another doctor we didn't know, and I called and said, look, I'm going through this and I'm shaking real bad, I don't know what to do, and I think I'm losing my mind. And he said, well, you need to call your pastor. And I said, I am the pastor. By the way, when that happens, it's just tough. But I called Dr. Williams. And probably one of the best conversations I've ever had that I didn't like. And it just changed my life. And that's exactly what the psalmist goes through here. I said, Dr. Williams, I said, you know, I'm shaken. I said, I'm losing my mind. I can't think right. And all this. And Dr. Williams, as a friend who loved me very much, he said, so. I can still hear it. So? I said, what do you mean, so? He said, so? I said, well, I think they're going to have to put me in an insane asylum. He said, so what? I said, Dr. Williams, do you understand who you're talking? He said, I don't care who I'm talking to. He said, what's the big deal? He said, didn't you surrender your life to God? I said, what do you mean, didn't I? Sir, of course I surrendered my life to God. I told God he could do whatever he wants. I'm going to tell you, some of you, you want to take that back. You want to take it back because you don't want to admit your infirmity. You don't want to admit it. You don't, hey, look, I can get out of this. I'll figure something out. And what you need to do is figure out he's in control. You need to figure out God is in control. And if he wants to bring you through the Red Sea on dry ground, he'll do it. He can. There's no question about that. Huh? Do you understand? We deserve nothing. We don't deserve a thing. We deserve hell. Anything over that is a bonus.
I don't see why other people get to...
That's your problem. Well, why are they normal? Who's normal? What's normal? Well, they get... Yeah, I know. And you know what? If God chooses to, he'll take you through the Red Sea on dry ground. Or maybe you'll lose your hearing. Or maybe you'll lose your sight. Or maybe you'll lose the use of an arm. Perhaps you won't be able to walk. Maybe your mind will start to slip. But I'm just saying, look, this is our infirmity. And he has no infirmity. Now it's time, you know, it's time for us to trust him. And you will take away so much of the stress. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed.